All right, we'll go ahead and get started. My name is Darren Dodds, and I'm the Extension Cotton Specialist at Mississippi State University. I don't know a lot of you in the room. I've been at Mississippi State about 7 months now as the Cotton Specialist. But I guess my peers in the Cotton Specialist Working Group asked if I'd talk a little bit about the project that we're doing looking at plant growth regulators across the belt. I'd just like to take a second and acknowledge the same slide that Tom had, acknowledged the members of the working group for allowing me to be a part of it and giving me the opportunity to present this. Unlike Tom, I'm kind of a background guy. I like to give a little bit of background about what we're doing and why we're doing it. So I'm going to talk a little bit about cotton growth and then kind of get into what we did and some of the results of that. But basically, we all know that cotton is a subtropical perennial plant that has an indeterminate growth habit. That's pretty well known. We also know that vegetative and reproductive growth happen simultaneously and that we need vegetative growth to support the reproductive growth. But if we have excessive amounts of vegetative growth, we run into problems. We have things, increased fruit abortion, delayed crop maturity, yield reductions. And there's a lot of things that can impact this. Excess fertility, timely rainfall and irrigation, things like that can really have an impact on it. But looking at these points individually, in terms of fruit abortion, we know that cotton basically fruits up in an order pattern. It starts at the bottom, works its way upward and outward on the plant as the season progresses. We also know that a lot of excess vegetative growth can shade the lower part of the canopy, and because of that, we can see some fruit abscission and loss of those lower fruiting structures. But there's also other factors that can lead to this. It's not simply because of shading. We can see problems with low light conditions, low fertility, or even root pruning from cultivation if anybody's still row cultivating. In terms of delayed maturity and yield, it's not uncommon to see a loss of fruit lower on the plant, but typically we see a compensation for that in the upper portions of the plant when we try to set a top crop. However, if we have to wait longer in the growing season for that upper portions of the plant to become mature, we have delayed maturity. We can also see yield reductions because of setting this top crop. To give you an idea of what I'm talking about, this is some data that I found from Dr. Bednar's. Looking at first position, second position, and third position fruiting structures, basically from the work they've done, they found that first and second position fruiting structures occur more frequently, and they tend to weigh more than fruiting structures that occur on third position and further out on the plant. In terms of shading can have other impacts. It can reduce mite, but one of the bigger problems is boll rot. If we have a lot of vegetative growth in that plant, it creates a very humid microenvironment and a very conducive to boll rot problems. Especially in the area where I'm at in Mississippi, we plant a lot of 555. It gets very tall, gets very rank. We can see problems with boll rot because of that. Also, penetration of pesticides. If you ever tried to get an insecticide or a herbicide through a thick cotton canopy on the bottom, you know it's a very difficult thing to do. So one of the ways that we try to control this growth is with a plant growth regulator. And you know, what is a plant growth regulator? Basically, it's a chemical that we're putting out there that's going to alter the growth of a plant or a specific plant part, and research with PGRs is basically not new. If you look in some of the literature that's out there, research with PGRs basically began in the 30s, looking at acetylene and ethylene and looking at how they impacted flower production of pineapple. It's a little bit newer practice in cotton, I guess, than this. I think PIX was released in 1980, if my numbers are right. So what does a PGR do? Well, there's basically three types of hormones that are going to be affected or potentially affected by a foliar-applied PGR. There are gibberellins, which are responsible for cell division and cell expansion in the plant, cytokinins, which are responsible for cell division and cell elongation, and auxins, which promote cell wall plasticity and also are thought to impact vegetative growth similar to what a gibberellin does. With Mepaquat basically reduces the concentration of gibberellic acid or inhibits the formation of gibberellic acid in the plant, and in turn, it reduces the amount of cell division and limits the amount of cell growth. However, it's important to note that Mepaquat only affects new growth. Mepaquat's not going to shrink a plant, and it's not going to make a plant smaller. It can make the leaves that are still forming and still filling out smaller. However, it has a tendency to maybe make them thicker as well. In terms of the effects that we see, it's not uncommon to see a reduction in the total number of main stem nodes and also a reduction in internode length. Not uncommon to see smaller leaves, but like I said just a second ago, it's not uncommon to see those leaves that are smaller be thicker also. And it's also not uncommon to see a shift in boll location due to Mepaquat applications. This is some other data by Dr. Tom Kirby. The line in black represents an application of Mepaquat. The line in red represents cotton that had no application of Mepaquat. Basically, is what this is showing is that an application of Mepaquat has the potential to cause a greater percentage of the total bolls on the plant to be located lower on the plant. So having said all that, what's the bottom line? If you look back through the research and look at how a Mepaquat application impacts cotton yield, the research that's out there is basically all over the board. There's research showing it increases yield. There's research showing that it decreases yield. And there's research showing it doesn't basically have any benefit. And basically from all that, if you look through that and look at some of the publications that are out there from some of their respective universities, we're more likely to see a yield benefit if we have problems with fruit retention and a lot of vegetative growth. If we put Mepaquat on that type of plant and try to slow down the vegetative growth and put some of that energy into reproductive growth, we tend to see positive yield increases. However, we tend to see yield reductions if we apply excess rates of Mepaquat or if we apply Mepaquat to cotton plants that are stressed. Basically, if you apply Mepaquat to a stressed cotton plant, it treats it as another stress factor and you're going to see further problems with yield. So having said all that, I guess it was before I even came on board, but the Cotton Specialist Working Group basically wanted to look at several of the commercially available PGRs and look at them across the Cotton Belt, look at them from California to Virginia and as many places as we can in between. Basically, they wanted to look at several factors and see how PGR applications impacted plant height, see how they impacted yield, see how they impacted fiber quality. And I guess a more specific point is we wanted to take a little bit harder look at Stance. As most of you know, Stance is one of the newer products in the market, has a significantly reduced use rate compared to some of the older Mepaquat type of products. So having said that, these studies were conducted in many states across the Cotton Belt. We had two locations in Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia, was where the data came from for these studies. And basically, if you look at the planting dates and the seeding rates, fertility, basically all the agronomics, for this study were basically based on the extension recommendations for any given state. So basically that's saying that something that was done in Texas agronomic-wise may not be the same thing that was done agronomic-wise in Virginia, but they were done with what was appropriate for each state. And it's similar to what Tom had, instead of showing you data from every individual state, we wanted to group it by region, and after this meeting, we're going to look at on a state-by-state basis. But basically, when I talk about states in the upper southeast, I'm talking about North Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia. Lower southeast, I'm talking about Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina. The mid-south is Arkansas, Louisiana, and the southwest is Texas. And here's the varieties that they planted for this study. In terms of the plant growth regulators that were looked at, we took a look at Mepex, which is a Mepaquat chloride product that has 0.35 pounds AI per gallon. Mepex Genout is a similar Mepaquat chloride product that has 0.35 pounds AI per gallon, but also has kinitin in it. Kinitin is a cytokine and analog, and if you remember from a few minutes ago, cytokines are responsible for cell division and cell elongation. Pentia is a relatively new formulation. It's a Mepaquat pentaborate. Now, if you look at the pounds AI of Mepaquat pentaborate, it appears to be a higher load than it is for the Mepex or the Mepex Genout. However, the pentaborate portion of the molecule is heavier than that of the chloride portion of the molecule. So basically what that's saying is 10 ounces of Pentia and 10 ounces of Mepex are delivering the same amount of Mepaquat to the plant. And Stance is a Mepaquat chloride product that has cyclanilid in it. Cyclanilid is basically a synergist. It's an oxygen transport and synthesis inhibitor. It's basically thought that maybe the application of Stance will impact two of the hormone systems versus some of the others. Basically, to set up what we did, most of these applications were made at Matchhead Square, the initial application, which is denoted by MHS. And the second application was made 2 weeks after the initial treatment, which is denoted by WAIT. The one exception to this is the Stance treatment, where we included a third application of Stance that was made at 5 nodes above white flower. But basically for the Mepex Gen Out, and the Pentia, we applied 8 ounces followed by 10 ounces. Stance, we looked at 1.5 ounces followed by 2 ounces, 2 ounces followed by 3 ounces, and then 2 ounces followed by 3 followed by 3. You'll also see an induced treatment on there. You may be asking yourself, why do we spray a cotton plant with a surfactant? Basically, we put a surfactant with all of the other treatments. So just to rule out anything happening due to the surfactant application, we included it in this and also included an untreated check. give you an idea of the type of data we collected, kind of similar to what Tom said. We collected a lot of data for this study. We looked at plant heights prior to any PGR application. We looked at plant heights prior to the second PGR application. Plant heights 2 weeks after the second PGR application, which is 4 weeks after the first. And then we took end of the season plant heights. We also looked at total number of main stem nodes, nodes above crack, bowl, yield, and fiber quality. So having said all that, move into the data a little bit that was collected. Essentially looking at the plant heights prior to the first application, these data are grouped across the entire Cotton Belt. All the states that this was conducted in, these are plant heights prior to any PGR application. Essentially, for the most part, the plants are similar in height. They're about 17 inches in height. The one exception would be induced. The induced plants grouped across all the states tended to be about an inch taller. Breaking that out by region, there were some a little bit of differences in plant heights by region. In the upper southeast region, initially the plants tended to be about 16 inches high. In the lower southeast, they were about 19 inches. The mid-south, our plants were a little bit shorter. We were about 11 to 12 inches in height. And in the southwest, they were about 20 to 22 inches. So looking at our plant height prior to the second application, if you remember, the second application was going to be made 2 weeks after the first. So these plant heights were taken 2 weeks after the first PGR application went out. Probably to no one's surprise, all of the PGRs put out caused plant height reductions. Basically, it didn't matter if you applied MEPEX, MEPEX Gen Out, Stance, or Pinia, the plant height reductions were about the same. We were looking at about 25 to 26 inches in height, whereas plants that had induced or plants that weren't treated were about 30 inches in height. So we did see a significant plant height reduction due to our PGR applications. Again, looking at it by region, in the upper southeast, plants that were treated with a true PGR were about 23 inches. The lower southeast, they were 27, 28 inches. You see a big growth spurt in the mid-south from what they were a couple of weeks before that. They were about 29 to 30 inches. And in the southwest, they were about 28 inches. Plant heights that were taken 2 weeks after the second PGR application, there was a little bit of variability in plant heights based on the different PGRs that were applied. But basically, the same story is true as before. If you applied induced, which is a surfactant, or didn't apply anything, you had significantly higher plant heights than you did if you applied a PGR. There was a few differences, you know, looking at the MEPEX and the MEPEX Gen Outs compared to some of the applications of Stance. There were a few differences, but I'll show you in just a minute. Those differences in the end tended to be not much of a factor. Again, in terms of by region, 25 inches in the upper southeast, about 30 inches in the lower southeast, and about 43 to 46 inches in the mid-south. In terms of final plant height, these are plant heights that were taken at the end of the season prior to harvest. Anytime we applied a PGR, our plant heights pooled over all of the cotton states that we had these trials in were about 35 to 36 inches. That is significantly reduced from if we applied induced or if we didn't apply anything at all, where our plants were about 41 to 43 inches. In terms of total nodes, looking at the research, there is some indication that we may reduce the total number of main stem nodes. In this case, in our situation, it wasn't necessarily the case. The total number of main stem nodes of the untreated was similar to most of those that received a PGR. And also, there weren't any differences in node above crack bowl. This is the final plant height by region, like before, and again, it's the same thing as we've seen before. Our plant heights were 26 to 27 inches. They got a little bit taller in the lower southeast, a lot taller in the mid-south, and pretty similar to that in the southwest. So looking at plant heights, and then we look at what's going to pay the bills, look at lint yield. Basically, it didn't matter in lint yield if you applied induced by itself, if you applied MEPEX, MEPEX Gen Out, Stance, or Pinia, or didn't do anything. In terms of lint yield, they basically all yielded the same. We had about 1,300 pounds of lint yield across the board was the average for this test. In terms of some of the fiber quality packages, the boxes that are highlighted in green would be fiber quality characteristics that you would receive a premium for, and this is based on the 2007 staple cotton loan chart. Looking at Mike, our Mikes were about 4.2 to 4.3. Our staple was about 1.12 to 1.14. I will say that staple length was pretty well uniform across all of the regions. Mike did tend to vary a little bit, and I'm going to talk about the breakouts by Mike in just a few minutes. Our strength tended to be about 30, and again, it was very uniform across most of the regions, and our uniformity was about 82% to 83%. So looking at mic by region, in the upper southeast, we see our mics being about 3.9 to 4.3. Two applications of Pinia did cause a little bit less mic than some of the other treatments. In the mid-south, we tended to high mic a little bit. We had mics ranging about 4.7 to 4.9. And in the southwest, our mics ranged about 3.6 to 3.8. So basically, what does all that mean? Basically, all of our PGRs that we looked at gave us similar plant height reductions. Again, it didn't matter if it was Mepex, Mepex Gen Out, Pinia, Stance. It didn't really matter. We got similar plant heights across the board. And this year, in our case, PGR applications did not enhance lint yield, which is not out of line with what people have seen in previous research. On the upper southeast, we did see a little bit of reduced mite due to Pinia. I have my suspicions that that's just a fluke in the data, that we're not going to see that consistently across growing regions. If you look at some of the research that came out of Texas, there's no really indication there that Mepex, Mepex Gen Out, or Pentia has caused any differences in mic. There was no reductions in the other regions. If we looked at what happened in the Mid-South or in the Lower Southeast, there weren't really any reductions from Pinia applications. We are going to do this study again next year just to get a little bit more data to try to quantify what's going on. So I guess the take-home message from all of this is we didn't see any differences in staple strength or uniformity from our PGR applications. And in terms of stance, it didn't matter if we made two applications of stance or three applications of stance this year. Our final plant height, our yield, and our fiber quality were all about the same. PGR applications basically gave us no benefits in terms of yield or fiber quality. However, you talk to some folks, some of the potential benefits of PGRs aren't necessarily yield or fiber quality. It's making a shorter, more compact plant that's easier to harvest. So basically, the bottom line message from all of this is that basically your PGR applications should be made on a field-by-field basis, and you should make those determinations each year. If we get into making broad strokes with PGR applications, that's where we run into the potential of getting into trouble. With that, that concludes what I've got, and if anybody's got any questions, I'll be more than happy to try to answer them. Dr. Evil here. I don't up here, but I've seen it. I want to say it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $3 for the cheapest and upwards of $9 or $10 for the most expensive. I think that was some data out of Tennessee that Chris Main may be able to talk about, but I believe, or Dr. Gwathmey, but I believe that's right. I think it was per application, but I don't know. I have to look, to be honest with you.
Does that include the application cost?
No, that was chemical cost. All right. Dr. Sandy Stewart is going to come up and talk for just a couple of minutes about the e-extension project that the specialist working group has been on. And with that, I will turn it over to him.
Thanks, Darren. I just want to take a minute or two to set up the workshop for you in the back of the room. If you're in a general session yesterday, you heard me introduce the cotton e-extension site. We've got four basically terminals or areas set up where you can take a look at what's there and talk with some of the people that have been working over the last 12 months to develop that site. There are some mouse pads in the back you can take home with you, and some other propaganda. I want to mention that one of the things about this e-extension concept is that it's changing all the time and continuing to grow and become more dynamic. And in the back left-hand corner of the room, you'll see what the site's actually going to look like next week. And folks can talk to you about how to log in. And we encourage you to do that because it allows you to identify yourself as being from a certain zip code and locality. And that helps us because we then know who's coming to the site and who's visiting. So over the next 45 minutes or so, please take some time to mill about the back of the room. It's an open forum and where you can take a look at cotton e-extension and hopefully give us some suggestions on how we can improve it as this thing continues to grow. Thank you.